Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, Vinny Tortorich stops by, and RJ Bell calls in with his NFL playoff picks. And now, like oral sex, he's also the best at receiving oral surgery. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, don't we, Gina Grad?
We sure do.
Handball, Brian. I'm looking at some notes here.
Oh, boy.
It's missing a few things here, Max Pata.
Oh, God.
It's missing the most notable note in the whole pile. All right, I'll tell you about that in a second. I'll just write it down because I remember the number that I was most interested in. Do you know what you've forgotten there, Max Banner?
I sure do.
And listen, if I say to you about stuff like, why didn't you think of this? You don't have to think of it. That's if and you're providing three other things that are more interesting. See what the game is?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll try to go off memory here.
You suck.
I think... I got it. I told you the best part about this whole stat was these two numbers that are not included in my cheat sheet. All right. But I think I've committed them to memory. I'll tell you about it. I'll tell you about it in a second. All right. I want to thank betonline.ag. Enter the promo code podcast1. And also you can go to Lowe's at lowes.com/ad. MedMen as well. I'll tell you more about MedMen in a moment. I got my little notes here. I was want to talk about Cool Whip versus Ready Whip.
Oh,
hot cold topping
yeah, that's right.
Conversations. We'll wait for Vinny Tortorich for that. Although you guys would be surprised the difference between Cool Whip and Ready Whip. And
Ready Whip is the spray,
the aerosol,
and Cool Whip is the scoop,
the tub.
Right.
Okay.
But you know,
is there a difference?
Let me tell you guys about me.
Sit down, everyone.
Breaking.
Someone pulls over the car.
I hate, as you know. When you order nachos and they ladle on the fake Velveeta cheese, yeah. I go, those aren't nachos. Or tell me those are nachos. Or the worst is when you order a chili dog and they go, you want some cheese on that chili dog? Yeah, I'll take cheese. And you go, what? Why didn't you say that? Why didn't you tell me it wasn't cheese? It's not cheese. And it bothers me. It would bother me. I shouldn't say if I was institutionalized. After I'm institutionalized,
it'll bother me
that's what they put in, like, oh, you'll get a turkey sandwich, it'll have American cheese on it, or they'll give nachos and it'll have
the pump.
But I'll be living in an institution, it's state run, the budget's always on a shoestring, and I get it.
It's what you have.
I have conversations with people all the time where I go, we're rich. Mm-hmm. We're rich. Just go get the good stuff. Just get the good. Get the good stuff.
Like, there's a store where all options are available.
I will
the same price.
I'll have these things where I'll like see the Hoffie bacon, you know, at the house, like just a cheap Farmer John something. And
Hormel.
I'll just go to the Gelson's and get the good stuff. Just get the good stuff. We got the good. I'll pay for it. I don't care. Just get the good stuff. So we were, and I don't know who brought it. We should figure out who brought the pies to the Christmas party, but. Hmm. The Christmas party a few weeks back, very good. Got the barbecue. Thanks, Zeke's, and everything was great.
So
Nate got the pies.
Ooh. Get Nate on the phone. I don't want him coming in here because he's working. But the pies got sat down. I believe they're Marie Callender's or somewhere good.
Some of that vicinity, yeah.
The thing about, like, you can go to Apple Pan and be delighted.
Sure.
Whisked away. But you can go to Marie Callender's and for $9 be completely satisfied with
absolutely.
A pie. There's
excited.
no pie blammo.
Well done.
And then two tubs of, oh, God, now I'm all screwed up. Ready Whip, Cool Whip. Two tubs of Cool Whip set down next to the pie. When you hear the ingredients of Cool Whip versus Ready Whip, and we'll do Ready Whip first, Max Zapata.
Ooh, can we do a blind taste test? Because I don't know if I know the difference. Do we have it here?
I think that it's like mayo and Miracle
Whip. Let me try to answer your question. We do not have the Ready Whip.
Oh, come on.
Because that's the good stuff.
That's delicious.
We have tubs of Cool Whip.
Okay.
The Cool Whip is, I'll tell you Ready Whip first. That's in the can. And it's like, it's a spray. It sprays on, like
aerosol.
Shave cream.
Yeah.
And you'd think it wouldn't be fantastic. Here are the ingredients. And Dawson, I hope you're sitting down. But by the time you get down to the fifth or sixth ingredient, there's not much of that in there. Mm. Like broccolini.
Gotcha.
When you get to the first one, that's kind of first, second, third. You know. Anyway, Ready Whip. Non-fat milk. Cream, sugar. Those are the first three.
Okay. That's what you'd expect.
Sounds like whipped cream to me.
How you make whipped cream.
Cool Whip. Now, we did not have Ready Whip at the party. We had two tubs of Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
First ingredient. Fondelier will love this, and all the people, Rob, who works at the other shop, all the people who love the fake creamer bullshit in their coffee will love this because the first ingredient in Cool Whip, water.
Boom.
Oh. Hydrating. Mm.
Because when
like
you have a nice
water.
Cup of coffee and a piece of hot pie, you think, I need some mountain water on this shit.
I got to cut this.
It's so sad to me that people add creamer to their coffee and the first fucking ingredient is water.
Okay.
But they prefer it. So the first in Cool Whip is water. The second ingredient is hydrogenated vegetable oil, including coconut and palm oils. The third is high fructose corn syrup. Now, all I'm saying is I spent $2,000 on this party. Cool Whip isn't free. Mm-hmm. We're not broke. And Ready Whip is probably the same price, but let's just say it's 37 cents more. We got the greatest barbecue ever.
Splurge.
We got this.
It's a celebration.
Decadent.
Why? Yeah. And then so I, of course, see the Cool Whip tub, and I'm like, what's in this? And I turn it over, and it's water. Mm-hmm. And then it's
sorghum, whatever. Yeah.
And I go, what are we doing? Yeah. And then this. Which is my entire life. I turn to Lynette and I go, what are we doing? And she'll go, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I'll go, fantastic. And then I'll go, who got the cool whip? And she'll go, I don't know. It came with the pie. And I'll go, look, who brought the pie? And it'll be a little bit of that. And then this. Now, water, palm oil, and high fructose corn syrup are the first three. There's not even any dairy.
The Holy Trinity.
Why?
Now,
here's what I think. I think most people don't know the difference between they're like Cool Whip, Ready Whip, go get one of them and bring it.
Yeah.
Read the fucking can, everybody. Yeah. Please read the can or the container. Please read it. Sorry.
I don't know that I ever bought Cool Whip or Ready Whip, but my first instinct was, if it comes out of the spray thing, like, I don't know, Cheese Whiz or whatever, it must be the inferior product. You know what I mean? Without having looked at the ingredients.
Yes.
So, like, I'm wondering if people have that first sort of knee-jerk reaction.
Skimmed milk is the fifth ingredient after the high fructose corn syrup, then corn syrup.
Oh, Jesus.
Water, hydrogenated vegetable oil, high fructose corn syrup, then skim milk. The first dairy product we get to is five items down.
Bat and fifth.
All right. So
I do know that a friend of mine who grew up very poor in the Midwest, and they couldn't afford ice cream, so they would get Cool Whip and freeze it and eat it like ice cream. Pretty sad stuff.
All right. I have many things. I grew up in an era where a lot of people had powdered milk and would use powdered milk. My deal is if you can't afford milk, don't have fucking kids.
Yeah, that's
my rule.
That's a barrier to entry.
If milk is a little out of reach, financially, maybe you should fucking pull out.
If you find yourself looking at the milk carton longingly in the grocery store.
Right.
Are you trying to find that missing kid? No.
Also, the powdered milk is great because, as I say to everyone, like the Cool Whip, Ready Whip. It's not like one is free.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit cheaper, and it takes you 40 minutes to make up a vat of it.
Yeah.
Like, you have to make it. You have to mix it with water and put it in a container and, like, shake it up. And
what does it taste like?
Tastes like exactly what you think powdered milk made with water would taste like. Like, it's just
really
like not milk, yeah. Kind of shitty. If you get a generic cereal with enough like cinnamon in it, yeah. It'll kind of kill it a little bit. You can step on it.
Does it separate? Like, do you have to like shake it up
Chalky.
Before you pour it? Do they still make it?
I remember very well a family who would do the, God damn, such a different time. I think it was Grandpa Al Lewis and his kid. I was friends with Teddy, his son. They do like a 50-50 mix where they go like, all right, listen, straight milk, little rich for our
they're
blood.
They're going to make the milk go a little longer.
Yep. We'll take a half gallon of regular milk. We'll take a half gallon of this
powdered
milk. We'll just mix it up in the same bucket.
Yeah. Smart.
Just made them both kind of taste like shit. All right. We'll figure out what's going on with Nate and the Cool Whip controversy. I'm glad he showed up with the pies. Nate's kind of white trashy. He's a Montana guy. He'll tell you this.
Yeah, he always complained that we didn't have enough desserts at our Christmas parties. So,
he took he matters out. Into his own hands.
Cool Whip could be one of those Montana white trash family
that's right.
Manly thing.
He grabbed the wheel and steered that ship right into an iceberg.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll tell you about that. Let's see. RJ Bell's calling in a couple of few. All right. So everyone talking about the border wall and immigration and Trump and the speech and the rebuttal from the Democrats. And I thought, I've really gotten into the wall as far as the subject goes. First things first, he changed it from wall to barrier, which I guess he's just trying to make it more palatable to get it sold. Or somebody wanted him to change it from wall to steel barrier.
Mm-hmm.
The wall's immoral, according to Pelosi and most of the Democrats. I don't know if a steel barrier's immoral. They haven't really drilled down on if a barrier's immoral, but a wall's definitely immoral. I don't know when the morality part of it started to kick in.
Dictating policy.
I feel like I would like the border secure.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take a wall if that means it helps. I tend to think parts of the barrier. Well, first things first. I'll leave it up to the guys who work the border.
Mm-hmm.
If they say we need a wall along this stretch, then you can have a wall along that stretch. If they say we don't need a wall along this stretch, then you don't need a wall along that stretch, or you could do it with drones or whatever.
When you say you want the border secure, do you mean secure from like drugs, terrorists, things of that nature, or like from illegal immigration? Because I feel like the wall would defeat one of those things and not the others.
Well, we've had guests.
Yeah, we talked to whoever was on the show recently.
That's not
how it
works.
They're using tunnels, man. Don't worry about the wall. Wall's not going to do shit.
And that a lot of the drugs actually come in the right way, right through
the guards.
No,
the trucks is what they said. The trucks are bringing the walls. I would like all the above. I don't like illegal immigration. Well, once you have illegal immigration, then it's kind of hard to tell who's illegally immigrating. You know, soon to be hardworking nannies or Al-Qaeda sleeper cells.
You can't parse out one from the other.
Right. So
every single person crossing the line.
I'd like to treat it like any, you know, I have stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
Stadiums, probably concert venues and stadiums probably have a certain amount of people who sneak in or get in or watch, you know, they're watching Manhattan Transfer for free, you know, because they had a thing where they were able to slide in, whatever.
Blend in.
But I'm also sure that they'd like as little of that as humanly possible. Huh. They probably aren't doing a morality judgment on there to see people seeing the Lakers or seeing Manhattan Transfer or seeing Menudo or whomever. But they probably just want to know that everyone who's coming in is accounted for and we put their purse through the metal detector
or their
backpack.
Possible,
yeah. Yes, as much as you can do. Right. So I would like the border to be as regulated as possible, which doesn't mean people don't get to come through the border. I've been back and forth to Tijuana quite a few times in my youth.
Cactus spine sticking out of you?
Matt,
that was somebody else.
Matt, the Porcelain Punisher's done it many times as well. I like the idea of traveling in between here and Mexico and vice versa. But I like the idea of also knowing everybody and everything, including as much as we can with drugs and tunnels and everything else. The notion that a wall never stopped anyone, I was passing by. It was funny, this power plant that's on the corner 100 yards from where we are. And it's fortified.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like sitting at the signal and I was like thinking a wall never stopped anyone from doing anything. And I remember just looking at this wall with this power plant that's right. This is the wrong power plant, by the way. That's it's a different power plant.
Still, point still made. There's a wall.
There's a wall.
All right. Yeah, that's why not the one on the corner closest to where we are, Matt? I mean, Chris.
This can be seen by three people.
These are the exact pictures we showed you earlier today.
Three people listening.
What did I say to you today?
You want the power plant, the one that I drive by
every single day. That's right on the corner.
Yeah, that's the only one I remember. That's
all right. You want to walk? Tell someone to go walk and
if
take
only
a picture.
The point could still be made.
I know, but this one had barbed wire and stuff. I don't know. I didn't. I just looked at the picture. Went fine, but look at the go to the fucking corner and take a picture. This is right there.
Okay.
It's right. It's the one that's on the corner. It's 100 yards away. If you go look at the power plant, I guess they don't want people fucking around with the transformers. So they put a wall on it, and then they put some barbed wire on top of it.
Pretty effective, probably.
People don't fuck around with the transformers, I'm guessing. I told Dylan, go over there and go get in the power plant. And he said, no. And I said, why not? And I said, because there's a wall, and he can't. Okay. So the notion of a wall not working, I'm not signed off on. There's a notion of a wall being built for sort of symbolic purposes where we're going to build a wall and we're going to show those Mexicans. I'm not down with that. So my feeling is talk to guys who work on the border who have an expertise in this field, give them the wall where they need the wall and give them whatever else they need wherever else. When it comes to checking trucks, you're sending Emmy over there?
No, we found shots. We're going to put them up right now.
Okay. When it comes to, checking the trucks, we got to do all that. This stuff about, like, going, that's the power plant right next to us. Maybe they put barbed wire. Oh, no, the barbed wire's up on it.
It's there, yeah.
It's pretty Fort Knox-y. And I think everyone who lives in the community agrees that we don't want people to have easy access to our power grid. So we put a wall around it. Fine. Walls work just fine. Most things that don't work go away. And walls have been around for a while. As far as the cost, I was just thinking about this. The $5.4 million. Now, the thing about the thing about Pelosi, she's like, the wall's immoral and it's too expensive and it doesn't work. And I'm like, all right, make the immoral argument, but then don't make the too expensive, it doesn't work one. Just make the immoral one or make the too expensive, it doesn't work. It does work. As far as too
fire and buckshot.
As far as too expensive, I said, how much is that goddamn bullet train we're building cost? Well, the necessary bullet train in California,
Christ.
In 2008, it started at $39 billion. That's Brown. That's our Governor Brown. Progressive Governor Brown. So in terms of saving money or being really tight with the purse strings, where $39 billion is where the first estimate was in 2008. 2016, it increased to $64 billion. In 2018, it increased to $77 billion, and it's expected to go to $100 billion.
No.
So if you're talking about price, I think $5 billion versus $100 billion. I'm sure the wall will keep going up in price, too. Yeah. It's not getting to $100 billion. I'm just saying, if you're talking about money, but you're footing the bill to a fucking train that goes nowhere, then I'd say maybe that's not your greatest leg to stand on, the actual financial part of it. I just thought for fun, and these are the two numbers that made me laugh. The wall was supposed to be like 5.7 or 5 and change. For some reason, 5.7 doesn't sound right. But anyway, 5.7. I said to Max Pata, find out how much we've spent on the bullet train. By the way, we've not laid any track yet.
I was going to say, there's nothing.
There's nothing laid. 5.5 on the bullet train.
$5 billion?
Billion.
Oh, my God.
What's that on? Like research?
Like, driving up and down to Chico and back?
For it.
I don't know, but we've already done five on the train that doesn't exist. So it can't really be about finances, or you can't be so miserly, Governor Brown in California, that you're so against this thing.
Well, and you know, there was talk of Trump saying, and I didn't hear it firsthand, that he said he's going to withhold funding to California and, you know, wildfire cleanup and victims and all that if we don't, you know, get this wall figured out. And you're like, A, that's inhumane and disgusting. But you know what else is inhumane and disgusting? $5 billion on a train that's not built, that could go to wildfire prevention and the victims of wildfires.
And we're over five and there's not a foot of track laid yet. Either way, anyway, I haven't really weighed in on it. I like walls. Walls are effective. I don't care about the message it sends. I'm not really interested in the emotional message the wall sends any more than I'm worried about the emotional message that any wall sends at any time, whether it's a facility or school or a power plant or border. The message is, just like this power plant, there are gates. Just like Fort Knox or the White House or any place, there's a gate. And if you want entry into the power plant, then you have to go to the gate and you have to ring the buzzer and you have to show someone a credential and you have to figure it out and we'll decide. I don't have any problem with that. I don't have any problem with going through security and getting on an airplane. I mean, we're highly fortified wherever we are. So the wall, I don't mind. On the other hand, I'm not one of these guys that says we need a continuous wall going all 2,200 miles down the whatever. Break it up. Use technology in some spots. Use drones in others.
Plug those holes. Plug the tunnels. That's where the real problems are. We're talking about working, you know, big to small.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're going to go. I mean, they'd be stupid because Israel does it. Mm-hmm. They go down. You'd be dumb to just go up.
Right,
you got to go down X amount of feet and then go up or do whatever Israel does. They have a couple of walls. They seem to be wildly effective. So, fine.
Yeah, I saw World War Z, man. That didn't do shit.
That part's fine. The other part where we look for some path for citizenship for folks are here, that's good. My thing is, I don't get why they have to live on the same page, which is secure the border and look for a path. It's not an either or thing. My feeling is it's like saying somebody's in your house and then you go, well, we can't secure the deadbolt until we figure out if that person in the house, like, secure the deadbolt and do that. Do it simultaneously. That's fine. It's clear that there's an agenda on both sides, obviously. But I don't, the part where we're sending bad vibes by having a secure border, I'm not down with that part. I just feel like whether it's a wall, I don't expect to float into Canada at any time and go like, hey man, what's the beef?
Yeah.
We've been there, it took forever to get in.
Yes, it's like, or any country. I'm completely fine with every country just going, where are you going? What are you doing? Who are you talking to? We would like to vet you. I think that's a pretty basic right that most countries have, and thus the wall, emotionally not interested in. If it's effective, then do it. If it's not effective, then don't do it. But I'm tired of all the sort of vibes that are swirling around everything all the time, or the message. Like, what? It sends a bad message. Like, what message? The message is don't come in unless you're documented or you're signed up or you're in line.
And to your point, effective versus ineffective, also cost versus benefit. Like, if it's marginally beneficial but wildly expensive, then we got to think about things. Whereas if it's the cost justified the expense, the benefit's justified the expense, go for it.
Well, and also in terms of the emotional component or an alarmist component, guess what we haven't talked about or seen in the news in, I don't know, north of a month, weeks and weeks.
Oh, the caravan.
The caravan.
They're here, run.
Yeah, apparently, the killer bees, now it's a non-issue.
No. Well, they're in Tijuana. Like, they're in Mexico.
They set up shop.
They did. They're basically, it's Tijuana's problem to deal with all those people.
But wasn't that a big part of the conversation with the wall?
Yeah. Yeah. They weren't getting through. No, they're both, it's scare tactics. Fear. I realize, I've been thinking about it, but I'm really thinking about fear lately, and I'm thinking about how it's in the zeitgeist and how it is not one of the most debilitating feelings you can have is fear.
Of course.
And we don't have fear, at least organic sort of nature imposed. I might get eaten by a grizzly bear. I don't leave the cabin without my musket because I could go to the shitter and be attacked by a Kodiak bear. Like,
food supplies running low.
Yeah, we don't have the kind of fear. I mean, we all fear Cool Whip versus Ready Whip.
Obviously.
Right. We don't have real fear.
Fear of survival.
And we have we have manufactured fear, and we're grafting fear onto everything. Mm-hmm. And it's both sides. I mean, this like, oh, Trump's a fear. He's whipping his base up. There's fear mongers. And then this wall sends a message, and it's hateful. And Nancy Pelosi was talking about fear. It's not something you'd wish upon your kids. I see people who live a fear-based life. Fear-based lives are miserable. I mean, think about that one component. Everyone always talks about, like, well, be happier. How are you going to be happier? You should work on being happy. What about fear?
Yeah.
How can you be fearful and have you? It's impossible to be happy if you have fear.
Yeah, it's very self-oppressive.
I was talking to my guy Rob today, and I was doing some swinging some doors over at the new house, and him and his fiance bought a house, or they're trying to buy a house, and he's going to move to Florida, and he's worried about the mortgage and the down and the blah blah blah.
Rob's moving.
Rob what?
Rob's moving.
Rob's moving to Florida.
Oh, no.
Yes, he's a good guy, but listen, onward and upward, I'm fine with. And
congratulations, Rob.
He said to me while we were working on some door jams in the garage this morning, he said, I have this weird thing, which is if I have surgery the day before, I woke up at 5:30 in the morning, like, I got to hang some doors. I have this weird thing where I get my clock knocked off because I was passed out for an hour for some reason in the morning. I don't know, maybe it's a Corolla family tradition, but I woke up this morning like 5:30. I was like, I'm going to go to that house. I'm going to hang some doors.
And make up that time.
So I went over the house, and I was in the garage. We're working on some door jams, and he said, you know, I'm worried about the new house. I mean, he didn't say the word fear, but he used the word worry, and that's connected to fear.
Sure.
He said, I'm worried. I'm worried that, you know, I'm going to get the house, and, you know, I'm just going to make the nut, and, you know, it needs new air conditioning, and you got to have air conditioning in Florida. And he was sort of expressing all his fears to me, and I said, Rob, you should be worried about being 37 and not owning a house. That's what your fear. Your fear should be not having a house, not what could happen if you got a house. And I remember once when I was buying a car a million years ago, after being poor and poor and poor and poor and poor my whole life, and then eventually I started making a little money doing Loveline and radio and that kind of stuff, and I bought like a used BMW for like $19,000 or something, and my mom went, whoa, that's a lot of money for a car.
For a Corolla.
That's a fucking fleet of cars for the Corolla.
All the money, like, they've spent on cars in their lifetime.
That's right. Absolutely. And she said, aren't you worried that you're paying $19,000 for a car, and then you're not going to, you know, the job's not going to matter? And I said, you know what I'm worried about? I'm worried about spending $19,000 on a car, and then a year from now, making so much money, I look like an idiot driving around a $19,000 car. Now, that's just me taking an opportunity to be a dick to my mom, but that's a
good lesson.
Live in that fear. I've realized it's bled into politics, obviously, but everyone keeps talking about this fear. Everyone's got a fear, and it's debilitating. It's bad when you graft it onto a group. You know, hey, we're lesbian, or we're women, or women and lesbian, or we're black, or Hispanic, or we're or this. I'm on this community or that community. Like, any fear based anything, it's crazy prevalent. It's a multi cajillion dollar a year industry. All the commercials you see, find
deodorant commercials.
Every commercial, some fear, smelling on the subway.
Yep.
Not to mention of whatever weapons or antibiotics or it's we're so
fear you got the wrong insurance.
We're so fear based.
Yep.
Please, everyone, try to get out of that headspace a little bit. It's
debilitating.
It's debilitating, and it definitely flies in the face of all the other things they want you to do. They want you to be your best mm-hmm. self and live your,
best life. Yeah.
And they want you to live your life courageously and boldly, like a dance, like it was the last day.
Just
and then,
do it.
And then it's fear, 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 fear. Like the same people that are telling you to go out and live a courageous life are also telling you about all the things that are going to go wrong.
Yep.
So just assume. Also, I don't know how many times, if you really think about like being foreclosed on or having a catastrophic, injury, I'll say injury, and I mean, think about all those things in your life, like this person died or foreclosed on or quit and the business moved to Canada and I was high and dry. I don't know how many of those things have happened to you, and if they did, were you out for a year or did you kind of just
still here?
Kind of just come back.
Mm-hmm.
So even when the thing happens that you don't want to happen, the girlfriend, the boyfriend dumps you, the love of your life or whatever it is, then what?
Yeah, the cliche is, you know, a door closes, a window opens. But, you know, we've all had those things in our life. Our radio station went away. It went away. And we were
Multiple times, for some of us.
Yeah, and it's like, well, there are avenues. There will be avenues. You can't see them at the time, but there will, you know, people are resilient.
All right. I will, I got some food to talk about on American Airlines. I got
transition.
I got Bird Box to talk about.
Oh, have you seen it? Really?
No, but my whole family got into it. But
talk Bird Box.
I would love to see Lynette give that speech to Sonny and Natalia. Boy, girl.
Do not speak. Do not look.
You will die. Do you understand me?
RJ Bell's calling in. Talk to him in a second. First, I'll tell you about betonline.ag, everyone. The greatest time of the year. NFL playoffs. Only one place to get it in on all the action. BetOnline.ag. Visit BetOnline.ag today for a 50% bonus when using promo code PODCAST1. AFC, NFC division round matchups. Rams, Saints, Patriots, Chiefs, all hosting. Don't miss any of the four games this Saturday and coming up on Sunday. Really the best time of the year. Go to BetOnline and use your mobile phone. Sign up today. Try in-game live betting where you can participate with every play. Mm-hmm. I'm laughing because I think Santora was doing that last week. Again, use the promo code PODCAST1 for 50% sign-up bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sports book experts. All right, we'll talk to RJ Bell, who's on line three. RJ.
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
What's going on, man?
Oh, just, yeah, winning.
So modest.
Tiger blood. Oh, wait, that's something else.
Yeah, so you're at 60%, which is fantastic.
No, 65%.
Oh, 65. Oh, I'm sorry. All right. Beat the all right, okay. Looking at a different 60%.
That's a banner season, man, 65%. Congratulations, RJ.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, I like one game a lot today, so I think we'll be in good shape.
Well, let me prognosticate for a second here and see what you have to say. I love the Chargers. I feel like they're snake bit. You've got to worry about the Chargers being snake bit.
They find creative ways to lose.
Yeah. The Rams, I like my Rams playing Dallas. They scare me the least, although the Dallas is on a roll, right? I mean, they've been doing a lot of winning. What do you think? Oh, wait a minute. We'll play a little. Last week, Chargers against the Ravens with a loss, but Seahawks against the Chiefs. Wait a minute. That was last?
Yeah, so we missed a few weeks with the holidays.
Oh, right. Okay, I got it now.
So that would have been
week
the last
16.
Week was actually when the Ravens played the Chargers the first time, and then they played last week, obviously.
I'll play you in, RJ.
It's time for RJ's Parlay with Vegas insider RJ Bell.
Let me guess the spreads. Can I guess the spreads,
absolutely,
RJ? Colts at Chiefs. Colts are playing well. Should be significant underdogs to the Chiefs. 6.5 Colts dogs, or is it like 8?
5.5 only.
Oh, that's not much of a dog to the Chiefs at home.
Yeah, like Colts playing well.
So,
Chiefs are missing Kareem Hunt. It's a big part of their offense.
It's true, but whoever stepped up is doing okay. I think stepped in for Kareem Hunt. But you're basically just saying, are the Chiefs going to win at home by a touchdown? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is yes, I think that's a pretty good bet. Cowboys at Rams. Well, this is tough because Cowboys are peaking. Rams got the week off. The week off doesn't always work. I was saying to someone earlier today, the week off is good if you're Belichick, mm-hmm. but if you're like a shitty student like I was, and somebody goes, you got another week to prepare for the oral exam, I go, fuck it, give me that bong.
Get right on it.
Get right on it. Like, if you're a dumb team, then what's the week do?
Ooh, RJ, another wrinkle with that Cowboys-Rams game, this would be an unusual playoff game in that they're estimating 20% or more of the crowd will be Cowboys fans. Mm. That's really rare in a playoff game.
And I do miss Cooper Kupp. Not only because of the alliteration, but just because I feel like he was such a good check valve.
He was white.
When I say check valve.
He was disciplined, route runner.
Yeah, high football IQ, very articulate.
Played the game the right way.
Hygiene impeccable. The Rams got to be, what are they, 5.5 points too?
Rams are between 7 and 7.5. There's different, you know, you can shop it, but right around a touchdown.
Chargers at Patriots. This is tough. Patriots at home. Patriots always win. Patriots make use of the bye or use their week off. Chargers playing real good ball, always snake bit. Patriots aren't what they used to be.
No.
And they're pretty mortal now, but who's going to bet against the Patriots at home?
Oh, that's right.
Chargers got to be dogs, but 4 points?
Exactly four.
Nailed it. Open at 6.5.
Eagles at Saints. Eagles shouldn't be there, or not shouldn't be there, but
very fortunate
they won by a point because somebody missed a field goal. I do wonder about how much celebrating goes on after the other team misses a pretty makeable field goal.
Hey, man, win's a win.
I do, but I just feel like you can celebrate, but don't take that much pride in a guy missing a field goal. Eagles at Saints. Now, this has to be a spread, right? This has to be. I mean, Eagles put up 16 points. Saints at home. The Saints have to be 12.5 or something pretty high.
Oh, eight. Only eight.
Only eight. I kind of like the Saints there. Yeah. That could be a 31-14, 17
type
game.
Yeah.
Tell us your picks, RJ.
If you don't mind, real quick, I think what you just did, Adam, was very instructive. Ultimately, all a pick is saying the line is wrong. I think the line should be something different than what the line is. And coming up with your own line before you see the line is what the professionals do. They literally will make a line on every game, and then when the numbers come out, if there's enough of an overlay, if there's enough of a difference, that's the games they play. So you just found who you like, right? The one game that had high variation was the Saints. So you like the Saints because you think the line should be 12, and it's only 8.
Well,
so
that's a great
way to go about it.
I don't think if anyone ever saw, if the game ended Saints 31, Eagles 21, nobody would be surprised by that score. And if it's 8, then that's less than 10.
No doubt.
Saints seem like a pretty good pick there.
Now, the second thing I'll say is I'm only going to give one best bet, and I'm going to give one opinion because it's very important. Think about it. A normal week of the NFL, we've got 16 games to choose from, right? A typical pro bettor bets about two of them. So on the side, right, they may play totals, they may play props, in-game you mentioned for betonline.ag, but still it's two sides on average for a pro bettor. We do two sides a week. We won last year. We won this year. It's the way to do it. But you're only betting, in that case, picking 2 of 16, right? Well, now you got 4. The idea that you're going to pick, let's say, 2 of 4 would be commensurate with doing 8 of 16, right? No one's betting 8 sides. So
right. It's
important to keep your volume reasonable. And the one game I like the best goes against you, Adam, at least your first thought. I like New England. New England -4.
Wow.
I agree with you. The Chargers, They're playing wonderfully. And in a way, that lack of home field, and Brian mentioned it for the Rams, L.A. teams, Rams, they have I'd say a below-average home field, but okay. The Chargers have the worst home field in the NFL, so what's happened is they've had to play exceptionally well on the road to compensate for that. And you could make the case the Chargers are one of the better road teams we've seen in the last couple years. Clearly the best road team this year. I mean, think about it. Wins at Kansas City, wins at Baltimore, wins at Pittsburgh, and a win in Seattle. That's about as four good road wins as you're ever going to see. But this is their third straight road game. Remember, last week of the season, Chargers went to Chicago. So all the way halfway across the country and back. Then all the way to Baltimore and back. And now all the way to New England. If you just look at the Baltimore trip and the New England trip, they will have flown over 7,000 miles in about 8 days, 9 days. So to me, you add that up with Belichick just sitting at home. The last road game for Belichick was week 15 of the regular season. Week 16 home, week 17 home, 18 bye. And now you're playing a team that's so rested versus a team that's going to be fatigued. Now, lastly, they looked their Chargers impressive against Lamar Jackson, no doubt. But that's a quirky offense that required a change of strategy for the Chargers to defend it. Now they've got to go back to against a typical NFL offense with Tom Brady. Now, he's not typical, but at least he have a typical strategic approach. So I know, Adam, you've been a baseball guy. You know, you play baseball and such, if I recall. When you used to go against a junk pitcher, right, a knuckleball or a curveball, and then the next day there was a fastball guy, it was hard to transition between the quirky and the conventional. I think it's another Chargers disadvantage, and we're only laying four. Patriots minus four, best bet of the week. Wow.
I like that. Gary Smith, who works over here, is a hardcore Chargers fan, and I love the snake bit aspect of it, and I see the Chargers being up a couple of points at the end of that game and them just kicking a field goal and just
leaving the window open,
just nipping them by a point or two, just to devastate the hardcore Chargers fans. That's all the science I have on it.
Now, real quick, if you don't mind, is the Chargers are snake bit because their coach isn't very good. I think by most accounts, the Chargers coach is considered to be bottom quarter of the league from a Vegas perspective, as in how well he gets his team ready, strategy, all that.
That's a hate crime.
So to me, if you're going against Belichick and you're a below-average coach, it's going to feel like you're snake bit. It's just you're getting out-prepared, you're getting out-strategized.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm a big fan of team sports and football and strategy and preparation, all that kind of stuff. Chargers traditionally have found a way to break the hearts of their fans in a last-second kind of fashion, and traditionally the Patriots have found a way to win in last-second fashion, so it fits the narrative closely. For me, I'd take the well-rested Saints just to run it up on the Eagles in the Dome, but that would be my luck. What's the second pick?
Yeah, so we're going to call this one an opinion, so it won't go on the record, but I think it's a game a lot of people are interested in. I like the Colts, and you talked about how well Andrew Luck's playing. I mean, last 11 games, and it's always funny to think about sequence. If the last 11 games were the first 11 games of the year, the Colts at 10-1 would be the number one team in the NFL. So the question becomes, is there some logical reason to demarcate before that 11th game and look at these 11 as a separate group, or do you have to blend them all together? And if you do, the Colts aren't the best team, right? Because they lost a bunch of those early games. They started 1-4. So to me, here's the three quick reasons why I think the Colts, the last 11 games mean more. One, Andrew Luck wasn't 100%. As the season went on physically, he got stronger and stronger. Number two, they had a new defensive coordinator, and they had a different schematic approach, and it took them a while to figure it out on defense. Number three, finally, the Colts have a ton of rookies that's contributed, and rookies tend to trend upwards throughout their rookie year, and it makes sense the Colts are playing better now than they were before. So, to me, Colts are maybe an equal team to KC, which actually, since Kareem Hunt left, KC, or got thrown off the team, has only covered one of seven games. One of seven.
Yeah, they're
here's why I can't bet
trending
the Colts.
Down.
Oh, I'm sorry, Adam. Go ahead.
Well, a couple things. First off, Andrew Luck has a very unfortunate thing, which is hair is thinning and the beard is trying to meet his ball sack. And I've got to say, I'm no stylist and I'm no publicist.
But?
And I'm not a pharmacist.
However.
But I am a pragmatist. And I would say, when you're a guy whose hair premature, like 27 years old, and it's getting yeah. really thin up around top.
Go on.
When the beard grows down to the your pubic beard. Line, yeah. it sort of accentuates the difference.
Yeah.
Have the Jason Statham go with the shorter cropped beard and or hair, but if you're going to try to do the hair and keep the hair and kind of comb it around or whatever, don't have the beard go down all the way down the neck.
The scruff and the hair should match in terms of length and thickness.
Get that beard sort of cropped up. Get that, you know, think box, just for men box.
Yeah.
Like that guy's beard, like this, come up the neck with the beard.
Yeah, clean it up.
Clean it up, and it wouldn't accentuate the thinning hairline.
Well put.
Well, here's what I know. You've got to be a manly man to critique other guys' hair and feel comfortable with it.
Yes, I do. Well, he has a weird, he has like thinning on top, and his neck just keeps going down. Mm-hmm. It's not a
compensating.
Great aesthetic look. And then you take a look at Tom Brady. Now, that's a guy who knows grooming. And based on that algorithm. All right,
now,
so
do any of you guys watch Ray Donovan this year?
No, but we talk.
For people who don't watch it, it sure comes up a lot.
I can look forward to 7 years from now for Ray Donovan being the next Wire. Because when I sit around now.
You don't watch Ray Donovan?
Have you seen The Wire? Wait a minute. You don't watch it?
I've never seen it.
You never saw The Wire?
No,
not at all.
No.
Not at all.
No, not one.
You never saw it?
No.
You love TV shows?
I do.
You like prison shows?
I love it.
You love black people?
I sure do.
You've never seen The Wire?
I didn't get a chance
Tim,
to check it out.
Come here.
What's up, man?
He's never. So 7 years from now, that'll just be my Ray Donovan. The Wire will give way to Ray Donovan. We'll have that exact same conversation.
There's bare knuckles fighting going on in Brooklyn, and most of the fighters that they're fighting against have beards and they're bald on. So it's kind of like Andrew Luck style you're talking about.
Well, it's weird because I think the high testosterone guys start to lose the hair, but not from the back, the shoulders, or the neck, or the beard.
Just the nape up.
Just where you want it, the high testy guys, those bare knuckle, it's not a coincidence at all. It's like the bare knuckle guys, like the big, it's not a coincidence. A lot of like heavyweights in the UFC, you'll see the Dos Santos and guys like that. You'll see the hairline, like way back and stuff. It's like, but it's all over the shoulders, but it's not all over the head. So I think Luck's operating at a high testosterone level. So you got Colts on this one, RJ?
I do, but the reason I'm not going to make it a full pick is it's the third straight road game for the Colts, and Andy Reid, the coach of Kansas City, is historically good off a bye. So that's keeping me from betting it. But if I had to play a second game, we'll call it a strong opinion, it would be the Colts. But the one best bet would be New England here, favored by 4. Real quick on this New England, you make an interesting point, right? They're probably going to win more close games against the Chargers than lose close games. And an option is to bet the money line. So, you know, we'll grade this on the spread. But if you agree with Adam, look for the Pats on the money line. And obviously you got to lay a little extra there. But it's still a way to get at the fact that Belichick's probably going to win more close games than he loses.
Well, now you sound like Linda. We had the same conversation in the fucking kitchen this morning. She's like, go money line.
Yeah. You lose the VIG.
You bet $1.50, you get back a buck. And what is the money? It's got to be a $1.50, right?
Oh, a little bit more. So usually if it's a 3-point favorite, you're going to see about $1.70. And now we're looking at -200 if you shop it. So you got to bet 2 to win 1. But in this case, you know, obviously if the game falls 1, 2, or 3, or 4, you're going to win instead of losing in many cases, and obviously with four you would push if you laid it on the spread. But real quick, you and the wife are talking money lines over breakfast?
Non-stop money lines.
She's trying to keep up.
I'm working more in an aesthetic thing, luck, facial hair, that kind of stuff. She's focusing on who's injured, who's out.
She's trying not to call you a pussy.
I just hope that it's freezing in KC and Andy Reid comes out in layers. I love when he wears his snowmobile fisherman outfit. Like, it's somewhere between snowmobile guide
ice
in
fisherman.
Alaska and tuna boat. We're on the tuna. Like, when he gets really layered up, that's my favorite. All right, RJ Bell, we're going to bring it home.
RJ Bell, gambler, RJ's parlay.
RJ, I'll see you in Vegas next week. I think I'm going to talk to you.
Yeah, I guess I'm going
to
sit in for the whole show, so I'm ready to go, and I'm looking forward to it, guys.
Thanks, RJ Bell. And check out the podcast Dream Preview and the website, pregame.com. Thank you, RJ Bell. All right, Vinny is here. We got Gina. She's going to eat her feelings.
Yeah. First one of the year. I'm excited.
I couldn't wait on this goddamn Cool Whip thing, but Vinny's disgusted by that, I'm sure.
I just gave him the ingredients. He'll have some thoughts.
Yeah.
Also, this American Airlines thing that happened to me regarding food. I have the commercial for you. First, I'll tell you about Craftsman, Lowe's, new home of Craftsman, including their V20 cordless power tool lineup. One battery system works on multiple products, 2, 4, 6, and 8. Tool combo kits available with the 2-amp high-capacity lithium battery works with all the tools in the V20 lineup. Do some work around the house, people. It feels good, man. Get your head right. Run time you need, the power you deserve. Brushless tools. They got the V-Max brushless drill. They have the Impact Driver. Impact Driver will change your life. Not since the Random Orbital Sander have I been touched by a tool so deeply as I have by the Impact Driver and the hammer drill as well, the V20 Max hammer drill. Proudly made in the U.S. of A, everybody. There is a difference in tools between the stuff that's made in Korea and Taiwan and the U.S. of A stuff. For the latest in Craftsman product updates, visit Lowe's.com/Adams. Lowe's, your new home of Craftsman. All right, let's see. Max Pata, why don't we take a quick break? We'll bring Vinny Tortorich in studio, okay? Do that right after this.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Corolla. I've been a loser my whole life, and last night a really pretty girl wanted me to drive her in her car back to her house, and she ended up leaving with somebody else because I don't know how to drive a stick.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah. Should be a rite of passage. All dads should show their sons and daughters and vice and the moms and whoever. Just
if you learn how to drive on a stick, then it becomes easier to drive the automatic.
Everything's easier. Life is easier if you can drive a stick.
Can Sonny drive a stick?
Fuck no.
Come on.
I had this conversation with him last night. Like, well, here's the problem.
That's a waste of my time?
Yeah.
The problem is there is no shaming anymore. Like, when I go to my son, I'm like, oh, you're sleeping at your friend's house. Oh, don't forget Allie Al and your Huggy Bookie and Petey Panda and Turdy Turtle. He goes,
it's a good thinking, old man.
He'll go, no, he'll go, there's no Turdy Turtle, Dad. It's just Allie Al and Petey Pete. And I go, okay, don't forget your stuffies, almost teenage boy. And
Stuffies?
Well, to be fair, I did like a move. He did make a good move the other day, which is he travels with his stuffies. He sleeps over friends with his stuffies. And then I go, aren't your friends making fun of you? And he's like, no, they all have their own stuffies.
Wow.
So this is the problem we're living in, but the world we're living in. But he did say this. It's such a stupid problem, but he slept at his friend's house the other day. And he slept. He didn't come home. He was like, oh, they went out and then went out to dinner. And now he wants to know if he can sleep over. It's just one of those kind of spontaneous things. And I'm like, what'd you do without all your stuffies? And he's like, I got by. And I'm like, what'd you do? And he goes, I slept with a utility ball. And I said, are you talking about Wilson? Like, he literally said, no, I had a utility ball. And I was like,
I can't play dodgeball with?
I don't know. I don't know why the utility ball substituted for Allie Al, but I was happy to hear that he slept with a utility ball.
What is Allie Al? Is it a pillow? What is it exactly? Describe it, because I've heard you mention it before.
It's a doll.
There's probably pictures of Petey Panda and Allie Al around somewhere. It's about 10 inches. It's the size of a... It's like if you took a loaf of bread and removed 5 slices. You know, that's about the size of it. Petey Panda's a little bigger. I was happy to see Phil on top of Sonny trying to get Allie Al away from him this morning. Like he turtled on top of Allie Al, and Phil's like, give me that, you know, because Phil's trying to take anything he can and run with it.
And eat it.
Well, he wants to get chased, I think, is his thing. But there is no – so the part where people don't know how to do things anymore,
right.
Not shameful. And, you know, where a guy couldn't change a flat tire or drive a stick shift. But onto your topic, I mean, your field of expertise, how many times do you go through an airport and you see a couple of women behind the counter at the Starbucks or wherever, like just working or just like working at the airport? And it's like, that chick's 23 and she is huge. Not, oh boy, she's a little husky, or she could drop a few or whatever, or must have been a good Christmas for you. No, I mean like morbidly obese to the point where the stuff's slopping over the belt line and everything, and you think, wouldn't you feel kind of self-conscious? I mean, forget about all the health aspects of it and all the spiritual and mental, whatever. Just getting into that uniform and having your panties come slopping over your belt line and the pants the way they fit and the way you walk and everything's rubbing and everything. Like, isn't there no shame?
Footnote to that. I feel shame on their behalf because Christy's mom does hotel uniforms or theme park uniforms for, you know, things of that nature, Universal Studios, whatever. And she'll often have the orders laid out in like her home office. And it's like, oh yeah, you know, 88 mediums, 90 larges, 50 XLs, 5 XXLs. 2 XXXLs, 1 X. It's always like they have to accommodate for the one person who needs the 5XL, and they're out there.
I don't know that there's one of them anymore, though, man. I see gaggles of the triple XLs floating around out there.
Here's the problem with all of it. You know, people, I'm not politically correct in any way, shape, or form, but people go, why don't you fat shame? And the reason I don't fat shame is I don't know one fat person. And I've worked with a gazillion fat people that will literally say, oh, man, I love waking up in the morning. When I try to tie my shoes, I literally pass out because of my high blood pressure. It feels so good, man. When I try to fuck my wife, man, it just feels so good to have that belly slopping on her fat ass. No one has ever said any of that stuff, ever. And it never will be said. There's not a fat person out there. The only thing that gets me upset is when we start celebrating, you know, the fat where you put the super fat chick with the tattoos on the cover of Vanity Fair and go, look at us. We're 600 pounds now. That's a problem because we shouldn't want to be 600 pounds. The problem is the people who are at Starbucks at the airport, they don't want to be that size. They just don't know how to get away from that size. And when you're eating crap around the clock and you're being told it's good because it's vegan or it's keto or it's, you know, And so
well,
brand
we
is
are.
Gonna,
I you know probably bring this up enough, but we are woefully undereducated in the very basics of. Of the stuff that you talk about, the stuff Drew's been doing, the stuff Gina and we've been doing, just the, you know, the, like when you're talking to a heavy person and they're going, hey man, I'm taking it easy. A couple pieces of wheat toast, some porridge in the morning, cut up banana and not too much honey on top. That's breakfast. And you're like, oh boy, are you, you think you're on it, you think that you
the right thing.
Are sacrificing. Yeah. You think you're doing the right thing.
Right.
You don't know. You would happily have bacon and eggs. You don't know it. And I don't know why, in a world where we never stop talking about third-hand smoke or click it or ticket, why that's not part of the fucking curriculum. They don't know it. That person has two pieces of whole wheat toast, put some margarine on it, and has some Quaker instant oatmeal and cuts a banana up on top of it and puts just a little brown sugar and thinks they're doing right. By themselves.
And a Jamba Juice for lunch.
Yeah, smoothie. Big smoothie.
To take it one step further, think how frustrating it must be to, in your mind, like, I'm dieting. I'm eating well. I'm doing the right, blah, blah. And then to not only not get any, you know, not achieve your goals, to actually go the wrong way.
How many of those people start off with a big old heaping glass of orange juice in the morning and think they're doing the right thing?
So many. And you see, we keep talking about this great paradigm shift. But is it really a paradigm shift when you tell people, hey, you don't have to actually go into dietary ketosis. You could just take a product now that will put you in ketosis, but it doesn't really do that. It will cause your body to use those ketones as energy, but you're not literally doing it right. None of it is being done right. And that side of the track is getting as bad as the vegan side, where, hell, a candy bar can be vegan, but it doesn't
Oreos
mean it's
are
good
vegan.
For you. Oreos are vegan.
I want to know, we're going to get into the difference between keto and paleo. Nate is on the other line. He's on line five.
Answer for himself.
He presumably brought the Cool Whip versus the Ready Whip. Cool Whip, first ingredient, water, this to put on your pie. For the Corolla party, hydrogenated vegetable oil, including coconut and palm oils, high fructose corn syrup. So I pitched a fit at the Christmas party and wanted to know where the fuck the real whipped cream was. Because here's my move, by the way. If you're going to go whipped cream, you don't have to add sugar. Just whip it. Just get cream and whip it. And if you'd like, if you go to Marie Callender's and pick up the pies, pick up a pint of whipped cream, or they'll just whip it up for you there.
Right.
Two, I was told Nate brought the pies, so he may know something about the Cool Whip versus the Ready Whip. Nate, did you know that Cool Whip outsells Ready Whip?
Adam, I thought Velveeta was cheese until I was 20 years old.
I knew it. I told everyone, you're white trash, man. You're fucking from Montana. You ice fish.
My wife thought she was doing a great thing because she was like, last year at the party, there was like two boxes of shitty cookies. So I was like, Adam likes pie. Get pie at Marie Callender. So she got pie.
No good deed.
I like Cool Whip because I didn't know in my life that there's anything else. And I don't eat pie very often, but I literally, like I said, until I was 20, Velveeta is the only cheese I ever ate.
I know. A lot of range, too, because you eat, like, elk and yak and moose and shit like that, right? Like, eat processed food and then real live moose. What did you hunt?
Live moose is hard to eat, by the way.
He did. He would fucking do it. What would you eat over there in Montana?
I grew up eating deer meat. I can't even eat it to this day because I ate so much as a kid because we were poor, so we had to shoot deer, and we kept them all year, and... You know, all of our Salisbury steak, all of our hamburger, it was deer
meat. It's all deer meat.
NSNG.
Nate's dad would be like, go to the trunk of the, go to the hood of the car and cut off some dinner.
Nate's still listening. He's on a game. Elk.
You know, the thing that's very interesting I talked to Nate about hunting all the time, because I grew up in North Hollywood and I grew up with my dad and it was like zero anything. But he said, how's elk or how's deer, how's antelope or whatever. He's telling me all the things. He said, if you shoot it when it's still, it's fine. If it's running or fleeing, then all the adrenaline and all the meat gets bad.
Interesting.
But, and Nate, you'll know this. if they're running but they're not scared. In Louisiana, we chase them with dogs and they're scared. So you have to get to them right after, and you got to slice their balls off, because all of that will flow into the meat too.
Wow!
You almost keep kosher. You just don't realize it.
Yeah.
No. So what is the weirdest thing you ate?
What's the weirdest thing I've ever
eaten?
What are all
the God's creatures that you ate in Montana?
I killed a rattlesnake and skinned it and ate that.
That's hipster for now.
I was going to try to eat a porcupine, but fuck those things.
A lot of quills.
We've never touched anything as sharp as a porcupine quill.
What fish? Was it pike? What's the crazy fish you spear there?
Yeah, they're northern pike. And then we also catch walleye. Walleye are really, really amazing to eat. I cook those for breakfast when I go home.
Nate,
I don't know if this is
definitely an Oklahoma thing, but did you guys go noodling? Did you do that in Montana?
Is that where you grab catfish?
Yeah.
Literally go into the mud in the water and grab them out with your hands.
So weird. Or you put your fist in their mouth.
We catch these fish in Montana called paddlefish. They're like 120 pounds, and they literally... Look one up online. It looks like it's kind of a sturgeon. It is a sturgeon, but it looks like the most prehistoric, even more prehistoric than the northern pike that I spear, which looks like little alligators with their legs, swordfish or something. They look like the sturgeon are just crazy looking.
Wow!
But they're like 120 pounds, and you have to hook them with like a gigantic treble hook.
The pike. How do you get the pike when you're ice fishing?
So I always make videos and show people. So we have two ways that we do it. One is we sit in an ice house and you jig, so you bounce a lure up and down, and then the spikes, the pike swim in and hit the lure. Like, they swim in so fast. It scares you kind of when you're looking in a little hole that's like 3 feet by 2 feet at this little lure you're bouncing up and down, and then a giant fish that can weigh 30 pounds comes in at literally Mach 1 and hits this thing and scares. It sometimes makes me jump because you're just staring and zoning out, and then it looks like a gigantic alligator's in there. But then once it hits, it bites it, and then it comes back to eat it, but it comes back very slow and swims right up to the nose of your lure, and you have a trident. It looks like a pitchfork with barbs on it. My brother actually welds our spears.
Wow,
and you drop that in and drop it right on the back of them and spear them right to the bottom, and then you pull them out.
So really? Cool Whip?
And Cool Whip.
Yeah, so, nobody really makes fun of guys who have big tridents in Montana.
That's true.
About Cool Whip, because then they just stab them with their spear, and that's the end of it.
Nate, don't worry. I called the white trashing, and I gave you a pass on that.
But you were right with that.
I know I'm right. I'm right about everything.
Nate, did you ever eat any like wild fowl? Like,
Adam,
any, like,
I'll tell you this. Right? I took my wife to the nicest. I'm from Havre, Montana. My wife to the second nicest restaurant in Havre, Montana, and you get 7 courses. And these are like the worst. Vinny would love going there. Like, the 7 courses are laughable. One of them is shrimp that obviously came out of a can because it's the size. It's like an inch long piece of shrimp. And the very best thing my wife never stops talking about is when they give you the vegetable tray, you get cut up pieces of Velveeta with melted Velveeta to dip it in.
Fondue.
She never stops talking about
that. That's white on white crime.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, Nate, nice job with Uppity, by the way. A lot of range this man has. Everyone is loving that film.
Right. Well, you were right there with me, so.
All right, thanks for calling in, brother. I appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, man.
I knew that was him. They brought the pies. We brought the Cool Whip. He did not know from Ready Whip.
I don't know if he had like any hawks or anything.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like wild fowl.
He's probably a falconer, and we don't even know it.
Yeah.
But Cool Whip outsells Ready Whip. So you're looking for whipped cream. Ready Whip has non-fat milk, cream, and sugar in the top, and the thing that is water and corn oil outsells the thing that's cream.
This is your,
that's the scary part of our being Americans.
Yeah. This is your Goobers versus Raisinets thing, because isn't Ready Whip also spelled like R-E-D-I, R-E-D-D-I?
Yes. I think so.
It feels fake. Everything, when I think about the spray, when I think about the R-E-D-D-I, I'm like, that's just fake shit.
But don't forget, and for everybody else, my mom and everyone else, in the 80s, 90s, Cool Whip has less calories. it's done deal.
It's marginal. Yeah, it's 15 versus 25. But Vinny will probably tell you that the corn syrup and the oil is much worse, bigger picture than the actual calories.
Of course. Yes. Well, but moms don't know that.
We have a few problems here. Under the Cool Whip, the second thing is hydrogenated vegetable oil. It doesn't matter if it's coconut oil, which is what they have here, or palm oil. It doesn't matter. When you hydrogenate any oil, you're weaponizing it. That's what causes heart disease.
Ooh.
Let me repeat. That causes heart disease, not saturated fat. So that's number one.
What is the purpose? The purpose? Why would a food company hydrogenate
very,
oil?
Very, very good question, because you don't really actually have to hydrogenate coconut oil or palm oil because they're solid at room temperature. So they're very, very safe to use without hydrogenating. They do it to cause an effect. So in other words, they're hydrogenating so that even if it goes lower than room temperature, this Cool Whip will still look just like Cool Whip.
Oh, it won't solidify.
You can go right out to Death Valley.
Can I tell you?
Still look like Cool Whip.
Let me tell you what the real siren song of the Cool Whip versus the Ready Whip for the white trash and all the other fucked up poor people I grew up with. Ready Whip, when you're done, all you have is an aerosol can that goes into the garbage. Cool Whip, you have a fucking container.
Yeah.
When you're done with that Cool Whip, there's no way anyone who's buying, there's no way Nate's mom tossed those Cool Whip containers. I guarantee she sent him with deer stew to lunch at school the next day with those things. They're in the garage. They kept fishing tackle in there. Like, that is a fucking durable good. Like, in my family,
were presented in
anything, pickle jars, mayonnaise, or anything that had a lid that stayed, that was a big ticket item. So the one thing is cheaper, which is the Cool Whip, and it's worse, but when you're done, you got a snap lid.
Maybe my grandpa didn't like maraschino cherries. Maybe just wanted a small jar for nails.
So, Vinny, keto versus paleo.
Not keto versus paleo. Keto and paleo. Here's the problem. It's becoming the same thing. You know, it's becoming these throw words that you could put on any product. You know, look, when I walked in here almost 4 years ago and, you know, half the audience was going, Adam Carolla, you're going to get sued. This guy's telling people to eat high fat and low carb, and this is crazy. Well, the whole world has come around to that now. So there's a movement afoot. So it's a good thing that people are trying to do it correctly. But the first thing people are going to do is try to make life a lot easier. Just like people stop using a whisk on heavy whipping cream to make a cream, they started buying Cool Whip because it looked like the same thing. The same thing is happening in this community. It's happening with, you know, keto. You'll see keto bars, and then I'll read the back of the bar. There's nothing keto about that bar.
Right.
You know, same thing with veganism. Veganism in and of itself is not bad. You know, it's just not a complete diet. That's the problem with it. But when you start putting vegan on everything, people go, it's vegan. It's got to be good for you. So we're having that same thing.
Like gluten-free.
Thing. Gluten-free is another one.
It's somehow better for me.
Yeah.
My nasal spray said gluten-free. I forgot
really?
To bring that in.
It's
yes.
not lying.
It's Kroger brand nasal spray. It says gluten-free. I'll bring it in.
Yeah, all of it is just, you know, the media picks up on it. Before you know it, industry picks up on it, and then they put it out there, and people think they're doing the right thing. And that's, you know, we were talking earlier about people who wake up in the morning and go, hey, I'm fat. You know, my gut is saying, no one wants to be that way. Everyone wants to do the right thing. The problem is the right thing doesn't really exist for people anymore. And not everyone's going to go listen to me or my podcast or the few guys out there. There's got to be a way for this to get out. And, you know, this podcast is a great way for it to get out because it goes out to millions of people
every day. You know, in terms of the government and, you know, everyone knows the rap, I feel like there are things when they want to be effective about presenting a message, they can be effective. I think the whole smoking thing being demonized was really effective. People not only does nobody smoke anymore, but you go somewhere like I go to the racetrack or go to whatever, and it'll be the one crew guy who smokes. I just remembered like Road Atlanta, like one guy pit next to me, he was like a smoker. Poor guy's like just stands. He stands behind the big rig. He's crouches down. He's like looking over his shoulder. He's smoking a cigarette at a racetrack. He's like hiding.
So it's not to be caught.
Right. So or shamed or no one's going to tell him to put it out. They're just going to be they're going to shame him. They're going to look down at him. So we've done that very effectively with smoking. We do it when we want to do water conservation. We get the message out. We're in a drought. Sweep that driveway. Don't hose it down. And if you see a neighbor hosing their driveway down, you tell them to sweep it down or call this tip line or whatever it is. We could be doing this with morbid obesity, with diet, with the early onset diabetes, with all that's going on, all the billions and billions that's going to be costing
that's
us down the road.
The
we could
is.
Be doing it, but we don't. We don't say a word.
Yeah, because
the government doesn't say a word.
There's no money. I'll give you an example of what the government did to harm our diet. And I show this whole timeline in the movie Fat that's going to be coming out soon. The McGovern Commission started in 1968. Okay. The reason it started was RFK went down to Mississippi, found some poor black people who were starving, and decided to make this a cause celeb to go, hey, we should not have poor black people starving in Mississippi. You know, they wanted the black vote. So what they did was they started a study to start the food stamp program. That's how all of that got started. We want to show a study. And McGovern jumped in there and started the McGovern Commission. 10 years later, 10 years, in 1978, when they finally said, enough with this McGovern Committee, we've wasted too many gazillions of dollars, we weren't even talking about food stamps and hungry people anymore. We were talking about trying to come up with a fucking food pyramid.
Right.
We, you know, and Ansel Keys somehow got in there right in the middle of it, and he was always influential in the government. So, you know, you can look at how something started with a guy who was dead by 1970 and another guy who lost an election to Nixon by 1972. By 1978, they literally threw their hands up. And I show this in the film where they went, we don't know, just come up with something. And that's what our government did.
I have,
and it's a real problem.
Well, it's time to unring that bell because kids are huge. Poor kids are huge. I notice it in the, you know, we talk about going to bed with food insecurities and a lot of folks can't afford this or that. Nonsense. As I think about my affluent neighborhood, as I really just sort of close my eyes and I picture all the kids and all the dads and all the moms, all of them in fantastic shape. They're all... Me and Mark Garagus are easily the fattest dudes in my entire neighborhood. I mean, these guys are out. Are like, you call these guys on a Sunday morning and go, oh, you want to come over and watch the ball game? Oh, he's on his bike ride.
He's cycling.
He left at 8:30. It's 12. He's not back yet. I mean, toned. The kids are toned. The wives are toned. Like, they're walking all the time. They're exercising all the time. There is, it's weird as I think about it. The couples are a little bit older. They skew a little bit older. The kids, you know, they started in their 30s and 40s. They're professionals. They wait till they got their degrees. I have never seen an overweight mom or dad. And these are people in their 40s and 50s. They're just bound to be the husky couple or whatever. No, and the kids are exactly the same way. The big dads, the big moms, the big kids, I see them in the poor neighborhoods. Go to the poor neighbor. They're the ones that are eating all the Taco Bell and eating all the shit. They're the people who can least afford whatever they're going to be needing coming up in a few years or even now or even a set of husky jeans. They are the biggest. And the government, who claims to care most about those people, should really be trying to infiltrate that clan and tell them about these diets and some of these things that are going to help them. For everything from studying to concentrating to all the things you want out of life, this is going to affect it all in a super positive way or in a very negative way if it goes this way. I have no idea with all the nonstop talk about these people and they need our help and they need to blah, 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 blah. How come there's nothing in this department? I mean, there's a couple like PSA commercials like eat fruit every day, but even eating fruit, you're still going to be fat having the smoothie every day. They're the least educated in this department. They don't understand it. The priorities aren't around this. And even when they think they're doing the right thing, they're still just putting on weight. Everyone around them is putting on weight, so it doesn't really stand out like it should. And it's sad that the government has a million programs and a million, they feign concern nonstop about these groups, and yet nothing in this department.
Because there's nothing in it for them. They can say it, and they can just, you know, give it lip service, and then that's all they need to do. Yeah, I was down, I had to go give a couple of talks in Macomb, Mississippi last summer. and I had to stay overnight to give a talk the next day at a hospital. It kept me overnight. So I was in Macomb, the home of Bo Diddley. Right, Bo Diddley restaurant, Bo Diddley Fried Chicken. And at some point, I said,
I love Bo Diddley because he sings songs about himself.
Bo Diddley, where do you go? I got a square guitar made out of bread box. Bo Diddley, Bo Diddley. Yes.
So anyway, we're down there, and I'm looking around. I'm trying to find a place to eat. There's nothing but fast food restaurants. There's nothing for me to eat. Mm-hmm. Here we go. I can almost hear it in my headphones now. So then I started looking around at the people, and there were 400, 500-pound women walking around. And the sad thing is, some of them weren't walking around. They had little electric carts carrying them around.
Well, you think about the cost from the carts to everything else, the health care and all of these people. Of course, it's going to be an epidemic.
It's an epidemic.
It's an epidemic.
But don't Lipitor and Crestor kind of love it?
Oh, kind of love it. It's a billion-dollar industry. All of it is.
Quick question. We're talking about the folks who are doing without, getting morbidly obese. But I was with a bunch of very well-heeled folks in Maui at the Andaz, which is one of the nicest...
my grandma says the Andaz.
Andaz. One of the nicest resorts in Maui. And I was at the omelet bar, and there were a fair amount of people going with the egg whites. And there was a part of me, the little Vinny on my shoulder, wanted to kind of like jump in and go, you don't still, like, that's the last bastion of the skinny, white, educated, rich guys. They still think they need to be on those egg whites. Visually, by the way, when they're done with that egg white scramble, it looks like hell.
Yeah.
It really does. Depressing. It looks like an albino throw up on the plate. Like, it's so shitty looking.
It's missing something.
I always wanted to kind of nudge him. Well, just give him a crack a couple of eggs. But what is the egg and the egg white? What may I have said to those people in those lines?
You almost can't say anything. I wish you could, because the little Vinny on my shoulder wants to jump in sometimes and go, hey, get extra yolks in there. You don't want the egg whites. And when I'm in my fairyland of Calabasas, I go out to Sunday brunch, and same thing. Everybody's, can I have the egg white Florentine? And I'm sitting there going, no, you want the yolks, because the egg white is nothing more than protein. It's just a straight protein. And the problem is that if you have too much protein in the absence of fat, you're going to have something called gluconeogenesis that takes place, where some of that protein is going to be changed to sugar and then stored as a long-chain triglyceride, which is a fat, which will make you fat again.
Is there a situation where somebody is choosing egg whites over whole eggs and you go, I get it, that's completely reasonable?
Like a high cholesterol situation or something. Or there,
no, because some situation. What we learned, and again, this is going to be in the movie, a guy named Dave Feldman figured out that you can, if you want to artificially lower your cholesterol because your company makes you go and get a test, so that you can get insurance and what have you, the way you artificially lower cholesterol is by eating saturated fat and eating as much cholesterol as you can. Because what people don't realize, and Dr. Drew is now on board with this, the cholesterol you take in has nothing to do with serum cholesterol. As a matter of fact, if we don't get enough cholesterol, your body will make it, because we need it for every cell in our bodies. Cholesterol is not a demon. We need it to live. And there's studies out that show that you end up with cancer if your cholesterol is too low, and you end up with all kinds of problems. So if you want to artificially lower your cholesterol, eat more cholesterol.
I will
say,
and
vice versa, if you want to raise it, eat less.
Whatever, a year, a half ago, whatever, when we were doing some shows together, the one thing I never, ever talked about was what my cholesterol was, because I've always had insanely high cholesterol genetically, and I was not going to comment on it until I had blood work done, because I just didn't know, and I was still, it was skeptical that could really be. And I will say at the time that when I lost, 35 pounds, I had my cholesterol retaken, and it dropped 15 points.
Yeah.
And that's when I was happy to announce that, because I couldn't say anything before that, because I just didn't know.
And Drew will tell you the same exact thing now. And he wouldn't have believed it. I sat right here 3 years ago, and he was like, no, I got to take all this stuff. And now he's on board.
He literally brings a sack of meat in here. And all he does is eat meat in front of me now. All right.
Like a Ziploc of bacon.
It's funny. He wasn't on board, but now he is all in. He's a man of exquisite passion. All right. Gina, I'm going to let you go start to warm up our food. We're not going to eat into the microphone because everyone hates that. I'll tell you about MedMen. But I still like to get to the paleo-keto difference.
Okay, yeah, I'll tell you what the difference
is. First, I'll tell you about MedMen. New Year's resolution. Well, you can find that and meet your 2019 goals. Looking to get fit? Try an energizing edible before you run or a soothing CBD stick after you run. Or resolve to relax a little more and ease your anxiety with premium products from MedMen. Visit a store near you. They have knowledgeable in-store teams. I'll tell you everything you need to know, including in-house pharmacists at medical stores. Make sure you find exactly the product you want, the product you need, and easy-to-understand instructions for using it. So you go to MedMen.com. Find the store nearest you at MedMen. That is MedMen.com. Right, Dawson?
MedMen's resolution for 2019, helping to drop the labels for cannabis users. Use code Adam Carolla at checkout to get 10% off your purchase. Visit MedMen today. Limit one per customer. Terms and conditions apply. Keep out of reach of children for use only by adults 21 years of age and older.
All right. Keto versus paleo.
Paleo was started by a doctor named Lauren Cardane. He was a PhD. He's a paleoanthropologist. And I can't remember which university he was at, but he ended up writing a book called The Paleo Whatever, Solution or Diet or whatever you have. And he put this theory forth that he had been working on for years that our bodies hadn't changed a whole lot from the time of the Paleolithic era. So whatever we were able to eat, you know, forage or catch or whatever back then is what we should be eating now. So that comes down to basically vegetables or meat, you know, those two things.
Right.
So, and since we weren't really milking anything back then, you know, it was long before that. So no dairy and what have you. So that works really well. It's kind of like my NSNG thing. No sugars, no grains. It's really close. Go on.
It's close. So it's pretty much eat meat, eat vegetables, call the day.
Right. And then all of a sudden, keto comes along, which is, you know, I'm a guy, even though NSNG is not particularly keto, it can be. I live in dietary ketosis because I had cancer. And one of the few things that we can find is that cancer loves to feed on sugar. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know what that means long term. Nobody knows what it really means. But my cancer, I was supposed to be back on chemo within 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I just adopted, even though I was doing no sugars, no grains back then, I would have the occasional beer and wine and what have you. And I just changed those few things to hard booze.
Sure.
And I'm 11 years out, and my cancer has not come back. My doctor's now calling it.
What some cancer kind of, did you have?
I had leukemia.
Mm-hmm.
And they said when they knocked mine into remission that, you know, remission means that there's leukemia still in your bone marrow and it's going to grow back. And the average is between 3 and 5 years. So expect that 4 years, you're going to be on chemo again.
Right.
So I figured, hey, if I can make it 6 years or 5.5 years, I'm good.
Right.
I'm 11 years out. They can't find cancer anywhere in my system.
Yeah.
But that's why I live on keto. And the difference is keto is keeping carbohydrates somewhere around 20 grams a day. And it's very difficult. That's why I don't tell people they have to be in dietary ketosis. Now, Drew is right now.
Sure.
And look how different Drew looks. He used to have, even though he's got the guns and everything, he had a little waist on him. Now sure. It's all kind of gone away.
Right.
So that's what keto will do for you. You will start using ketone bodies to act where sugar acted before, because our bodies tend to work just as well on not just as well, actually better. And I know you talk a lot about a guy I have in my movie, Jim Abrams.
Jim Abrams, right?
Jim Abrams. We open the movie with Charlie
having a
seizure. Yeah. That's how the movie opens. 70% of kids with seizures can be. Well, 35% can be completely cured, which is what happened to Charlie. Another 30% can knock the seizures down to almost nothing. So that's almost a 70% cure rate. But that's like the fifth thing. The doctors didn't even talk about it back in those days. Jim Abrams happened upon it by accident, pure accident, right before they wanted to chop more of his kid's brain out at 16 months old.
I've said a million times, you want to get something done, you get a comedy writer.
That's right.
Results. Huh? Well, you know,
for a reason.
We kind of do it to ourselves. Well, first off, it's insane that the doctors don't know this, but it's also insane. We have so many crackpot theories about how much water you need to drink and how much hydration you need to do and all the toxins you need to flush from your body. We have like all these fuckstick crackpot, you know, stupid wives' tale things that I think the real stuff gets lost in the shit. And so when you come along and you go, hey, this guy had seizures and now he doesn't see, you're hearing the person going, listen, I was skeptical about crystals as well. Then I started sleeping on them in my mattress and I felt I was a new, and you start hearing about, I put magnets in my socks, and like you start hearing about these. Normally when people have their ideas, those kind of people, they're fucking crackpots that are talking about healing crystals and hydration and all this stuff and all the toxins and coffee enemas and everything else. And so when you start talking about keto or paleo or whatever, they go, okay, all right, let the guys at the Mayo Clinic handle the seizures.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Jim Abrams is a great example. People ask, hit me up for this kind of advice all the time, and I always say, whether Jim Abrams or Lorenzo's Oil or whoever, you can have the best doctor in the world. No one's going to care more about you and your or your kids or your family than you. The doctor can be the best doctor. You're still your best advocate or
I'm
your that, kids.
I'm the
best
same
advocate.
Way. Right? Replace me with Olga, but exactly. I get someone I pay.
You know, to that point, Jim Abrams says in the movie, he goes, "Look, I had he was at the height of his powers. They had a lot of money coming in. He was at with the best doctors." In the world, and they were, we got to give him more drugs, and we got to cut another piece of his brains out. And we have an interview with the doctor, and they said, look, did you know about the keto diet? And the doctor goes, yeah, we knew about it. Well, why didn't you try it with this kid? And he was like, well, we had two or three more procedures we wanted to do first, and then, but we don't like to mess with that. They don't like to mess with it because there's no money in it. There's no cutting, and when you're not cutting, you're not
charging.
You're not making money. And so on and so forth. That's the problem with all of it. You can run that. You can follow the money. You can follow it all the way up the line with big food, big medicine, the drug companies, and that's who feeds the government.
I'll tell you the other thing, too, that I think most people listening will find interesting. All of this, the other thing that drove me nuts right up there with the, how much do you weigh? I weigh 200 pounds. All right. Half of that in ounces every day. You know, you got to suck it up. And I just kept saying, how come everyone's drinking so much water and getting fatter? The other one that didn't make sense, but everyone kept saying, you got to eat a lot of meals, a whole bunch of meals, meals spread out throughout the day. It drives me nuts. Like, well, wait a minute. How are you losing weight? Because you're eating little meals all the time and your body's never hungry. And it's obviously, it's all the exact opposite of that.
Right.
I'll tell you when you really notice is if you get into the habit, and when I'm being a good boy, I get up, I have a cup of Vinny's coffee, and I eat Pure Vitamin Club, by the way. And
a lot of Vinny in the morning.
A lot of Vinny. Yeah. I do the vitamins, I do the coffee. And you do the purecoffeeclub.com, by the way. Do the coffee, put a little whole butter in there, a little whole cream or whatever, mix it up, drink that. Pretty satiated, not starving at all, going kind of through the day, making my paces. I'm here all day. I rarely eat lunch here, feeling pretty good. You go on vacation and you realize how much people eat. Like you all meet at the complimentary buffet at 8 a.m. or 10 a.m. in the morning, I'll eat. I was having conversations with my kids, but like, and everyone else, like, did the full buffet at 9, got out of there at like 10:15.
Load up the plates.
The plates go
loading up. Get down to the pool. It's 11:45. Everyone's like, what's for lunch?
Fruit plate.
What's for lunch? And I'm like, what do you mean, what's for lunch? Well, nothing's for lunch. We just ate 7,000 calories, and like the wives are ordering quesadillas before and corn dogs, like before you can yell nothing's for lunch. And I'm like yelling at Natalia, it's 11:40. Yeah. It's lunchtime. I said, like, you weren't working on, farm equipment at sunrise. We were stuffed with waffles at 10. We got out of there at 10:15. Now it's 11:45. It's like, it's lunchtime. We're eating lunch. And so it's
surrounded by hobbits.
As the guy who's paying for everything and there, I pretty much stayed away from lunch. And then it's like, what time are we meeting for dinner? We're meeting at 6 o'clock. We're doing a big thing. And you just realize, wow, when you get off of that sort of gravy train,
yeah,
so to speak, like when you just get kind of tuned into, have my cup of coffee, put my cute pat of butter in it, that'll get me through mm-hmm. till noon or two, have a little snacky, something, little protein, little tuna or something at noon, and then dinner later on. You realize how little you can get. I'm a 200-pound 6'2 dude. I'm much bigger than the kids or the wives.
Right.
I can get by on, I'm out snorkeling. They're drinking by the pool. I can get by on much less than you think. And then, but they're in that, rhythm
in the
of
mood.
We go from the buffet, then we go to the pool, and we got to order. Guy keeps coming by, want to know what we want.
Can I ask a question about that?
Yes.
Was Howie there this year?
Was there.
Did you? So obviously you got to see him. You guys hung out.
Yes, we did. We went on the catamaran.
He's the most generous guy in the world. How many? Let me guess. He probably had 40 people in some giant catamaran.
Adam brought 40 people.
I brought 12, including the skipper and his first mate. We outnumbered Howie buys the boat, and then I bring 12 people onto the boat.
Like, he brings a cavalcade. He brings family.
Yeah. Oh,
brings in-laws.
He brings numbers of families. Yeah, that's a video of all of us just hanging out, or all the kids.
It's like Waterworld.
The greatest move of the kids on the catamaran is in between the two.
The net. Yeah.
The
net.
They lay with their face down on that net. Sometimes they just pass out, but they're looking down into the Azure Blue Seas. How would your grandmother pronounce it?
Azure. She would accept that.
All right.
If you're in America.
Let's see. We got to take a break. We got the news. We got to eat your feelings. And I'll save my American Airlines food thing. Vinny probably wouldn't approve anyway.
It'll keep.
Tommy John. I'll tell you about Tommy John. I'm wearing my Tommy Johns right now. Boy, I'll tell you, when I've been working on houses lately, and before I leave the house, it is Tommy John all the way. If you're going on a workout, riding a bike, taking a jog, taking a walk, but swinging a hammer, man, you put on those Tommy Johns. You keep it in place. Most comfortable men's and women's underwear on the planet. Keeps you neat, nestled, and keeps everything right where it should be. Soft contour pouch, comfortable stay-put waistbands, soft moisture wicking fabrics. All the time saving, by the way. They got the quick draw flying there. Perfect for solution for guys that are on the run. Plus, life-changing women's line as well. Long wear for men and for women. And stay tucked in dress shirts. All the best stuff. Not only does Tommy John have a no-wedgie guarantee, they also have the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Once you make the switch, you won't go back. It's the best. It's Tommy John. Right, Dawson?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam right now for 20% off your order. That's TommyJohn.com. It's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. Only at TommyJohn.com. TommyJohn.com.
All right. Quickie break. Come back. We'll do Eat Your Feelings and the news right after this.
What's up? Name's Xander Slade. I'm a professional parkour runner. Never heard of parkour. Number one, wake the fuck up. You're fast asleep. And number two, I'll tell you about it. Parkour is an ancient physical art form from Japan. It incorporates cool flips and shit into the process of getting from one point to another. It's a tough sport. I get a lot of bumps and bruises, but the most difficult aspect of running is staying loose. You can stretch all you want, but my secret is Mangria. I chug about a bottle and a half before I launch myself over 30-foot parking garage gaps and cling to cement walls with no handholds. For me, it's the best way to stay cool under pressure. Currently, I'm nursing two broken legs and a broken penis, so I'm out for a while. But know this. When I hit the streets again, Mangria is coming with me. Thanks, Mangria. Parkour.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.